The English ladies were in such a hurry at this hour of the night was beyond him.
"Luella,"
asked the Countess of Ridgeway as she squeezed into the lift alongside her, "did you remember to pack your night clothes that were underneath your pillow? I do hope you did not leave that lovely silk night dress behind."
"It's in the brown case,"
sighed Luella as the lift slowly descended. The lift doors opened, and they found themselves in a lobby that was eerily quiet. There was only a night porter on duty, and one desk clerk. The Countess strode purposefully towards the desk, and, in clear French, asked for their bill.
"You are leaving us, Madame la Comtesse?" inquired the clerk.
"We are, and I would be obliged if you would refrain from answering any inquiries as to our whereabouts or our destination. We wish to travel in secret."
"Bien sûr, Madame la Comtesse," replied the clerk, handing over their account.
The Countess stared at it through her lorgnette, and then pulled out several high-denomination notes from her purse. Luella stood nervously behind her, looking around with eyes as uneasy as a frightened rabbit's.
"Aunt, I do hope that awful man is not about to come through those doors," she said with a great deal of agitation in her voice.
"Do not concern yourself," replied the Countess. "I heard him order a carriage to the casino just a few hours ago. He will be ages yet. He will play until his funds have run out."
"I do hope so," muttered Luella, brushing back a strand of fair hair that had escaped from her hat. Her pale blue eyes were large and the pupils very dilated. Her bottom lip trembled in her sweet, heart-shaped face, and she looked for the whole world like an ethereal waif wafted to earth by the gods themselves. It was those unusual looks that had brought her trouble. Ever since she had encountered Frank Connolly in a hotel in Monte Carlo, he had proved to be a most difficult customer. "It is always the same with these hard-up buccaneers," her aunt had said when he had made Luella cry with his persistent and unwanted attentions. "He looks at you, and as well as desperately wanting to own your beauty, all he can see is a fortune that will rescue him from his ignominy. He must know that you stand to inherit a very large sum, not to mention all my Scottish estates when I am gone."
"Oh, aunt, do not even mention that. I don't care a fig for your money, although I must admit that I love your castle very much."
"And it will be yours one day," the Countess had replied.
And now, a month later, they had been forced to flee from hotel to hotel with Frank Connolly in hot pursuit. Finally, after a terrible week in Paris, where he had threatened to take his own life if Luella would not promise to marry him immediately, they had decided to head for England and return to their Scottish home in Perthshire. Tugging her purse under her arm, Aunt Edith followed the bellboy out to the waiting carriage, and the night porter ran to hold open the door for them.
"Bon voyage, Madame Comtesse, Mademoiselle Ridgeway," he said with a bow. "Will we see you again soon?"
"I should not have thought so," said the Countess haughtily. Then, turning to the driver, she spoke urgently.
"Dépêchez-vous, monsieur, la gare Saint-Lazare, s'il vous plaît."
With both women and their luggage safely on board, the carriage sprang forward and Luella heaved a sigh of relief. She knew that her aunt was right. Frank Connolly would be at the gaming tables long into the small hours of the morning, by which time they would be on the boat train for Dover. As they tore through the streets of Paris, she sat back in her seat and thought of Scotland. It had been a year since she had last set foot on British soil, and she was looking forward to her return.
"We shall not linger in Dover," said Aunt Edith, as they reached the station. "I know a discreet hotel in Hastings where we shall stay before we make our way to the West Country."
"The West Country?" cried Luella. "Are we not travelling to London to catch the Inverness train? I had been looking forward to shopping and sightseeing."
"No," asserted the Countess quietly.
"London is the first place that Connolly will come looking for us. No, we shall outfox him by detouring to Cornwall, and then, from there, we shall travel north as soon as I feel that the coast is clear."
"Why Cornwall, Aunt?"